Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we know that as we come together, your presence is with us. We acknowledge your Holy Spirit here. And we, Lord, thank you, Lord, for ministering to us, for guiding us, for strengthening us, and for helping us, Lord, to do the things, Lord, that you're calling us to do. So right now we're going to go to the Word. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken our minds and our hearts so that we may receive it, may put it to work in us, and to see producing fruits in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're going to continue on the things that we were sharing last week concerning the 2020 vision. See, we are talking about clear spiritual sight. We're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight. Amen. To walk by faith, you have to know where you're going. And see, faith is a spiritual thing, and so we have to be able to spiritually discern where to go, what to do, be able to see clearly the things that are around us, not just in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. We have to be able to see and determine, you know, what's going on around us. That is the possibly, you know, the things that is difficult sometimes to do for people that are trained to just base themselves on the physical things. You know, if we look at the physical things, we can see that, you know, around darkness is more darker than there's ever been before. Not just on a local level, but on a global level. At the same time, if we can see in the spirit world, and he can see, and we are, you know, able to see enough well what's going on in all the places, we can see that also there is a much greater light than has ever been. There is better understanding. Okay. Today there is great confusion about many things. People don't even know what they are or who they are or whatever. That, you know, that was never a problem before. I mean, there was some a minority of people that were confused about that. But today it looks like it's spreading like, At the same time, lots of people have better understanding about these things. So there is not just, you know, great, you know, even in Christianity, you know, there is greater apostasy that, I mean, there have been problems from the very beginning, let's face it. But now it's more spread, you know, and it's infiltrating even the people that should know better. Okay? At the same time, there is more power that is manifested today that has ever been manifested in all the history of Christianity. You know, before there was power in a small group of people that were really close to Jesus and the one that were close to them for a few years, you know, a few 200-300 years. But as that decayed and just was almost gone for many centuries, till the beginning of 1900, when finally something that was promised before at the beginning came back in a much more evident way. See, this is something, you know, people can say, well, you know, things, the world has been always bad. Oh, yeah, the world has been always bad because that's the way the world is. It's in a fallen state. But the point is, you know, the light was dimmed compared to the way it is today. There is more understanding. There is more power. You know, the miracles that are happening today all over the world never happened before. So we are in a different time. If we realize it or not. And the interesting thing, it doesn't happen in the denominations. Do I have to say that again?
Yeah.
It does not happen in the normal denominations. Because they don't let the Holy Spirit do the work that He wants to do. It doesn't happen by somebody organizing it. You know, you can look back. This is what's been happening from the 1900s. You know, when the Holy Spirit first came on Azusa Street, another place, it wasn't something was organized by anybody. It just fell. When people were what? Seeking. See, that's what makes the difference. If you think you got it, you haven't got it. Okay? Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, you got it. But you shouldn't think that you got everything because God is much bigger than you are. You should know that He's there and He wants to reveal Himself in you and through you. And when you come to start to realize that and you start moving with it, this is going to start happening more and more. You know, the people that don't think that way, they are really not going to manifest anything. That one makes the difference. You know, there is confusion, I said. There is darkness. There are other things. How do you know the truth? Well, Jesus said it very clearly. You know, there are a number of ways that you find out about the truth. Okay? First of all, it's by the fruits. Okay? Everybody has some truth. But some truth is not good enough. We want more truth. You see, the problem is not the truth that they have, it's the unbelief that they have that is added to the truth. See, and the wrong doctrines that are being introduced in the church. Okay? So that's the thing. So this is, you know, this is why Jesus said and warned us. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, says, beware of false prophets. That doesn't mean that they say everything wrong. But you have to be wrong in some places where there is an impact on your walk, and that's going to mess you up. Okay. See, beware of the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, and inward they are ravening wolves. Okay. You know them by what? They're fruits. Okay, interesting, it's plural. Okay? That means that it's many different things that are affecting them or doing. Okay? And then goes on. You know, another, you know, in John expresses the same thing, you know, expressing, you know, the way you know the truth is by the works that they do. You know, and Jesus said in John 14:12, says, most assuredly I say to you that who believes in me. That's the key. I mean, you know, do you believe or you're just playing religion? Okay? The works that I do, you shall do also, even greater work than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. Amen. And whatever you ask in my name, can you say whatever?
Whatever.
Hallelujah. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, that's the way you glorify the Father. Amen. It's not by your nice talks. It's not by words. It's by results. Amen. That's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. You know, and ask anything in my name and I will do it. That's a serious, you know, this is just a major promise. That was completely obliterated or forgot for many generations, many centuries. People start believing it again. This is why you see the results that you see. Hallelujah. What can you expect? What can things can you have as a result of that? Hallelujah. Well, Jesus said, you know, Matthew 10, verse 7, you know, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's not going to be some time when you go to heaven. It's going to be here, right now. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Amen. I mean, that's the thing we had to expect. If you don't acknowledge that, there is a problem. I mean, you're just coming short of what everything that Jesus starts trying to do. Okay? I mean, the things that, you know, when that happens only when you speak the word. Doesn't happen when you start talking about your theory, your ideas, your doctrines. Happens when the word, the Logos, is spoken and is powerful, because in the Logos is the power of God to be able to do these things. Amen. The word of God is powerful and effective. Yes. And so when you do that, you can expect those results. Yes. If you teach other things, you can expect nothing, because God is not going to do it. And this is the way you give glory to the Father. Hallelujah. See, this is what we have to understand. That's what we have to open and press up. This is what the way we are going to be able to discern the truth from the other things that are not, that we should not follow. You know, Jesus said very clearly, the other things, the other designs following are the indication. See, this is what Jesus used for himself. You see the work that I do? That was his credentials. Hello? Today, if you do say that, you say, well, you know, that's not the way you do it. You have to have a piece of paper with, you know, somebody saying, you know, he's some kind of a title with that. Sorry. You know, titles don't hold before God. All right? Praise the Lord. That's why, you know, this is the sign for people that actually believe. You see? They even removed those verses from some of the Bibles. You know, they removed Mark 16, 15 to 18 in some of the Bible, because they said, you know, not all manuscript had it. That doesn't mean anything. So in 15 says, you know, you said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And who believes and is baptized, he shall be saved. And does not believe is condemned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. I mean, that's pretty clear. So if you don't have these signs, then you don't believe. And this is not just for some quotation mark pastors or whatever. You know, that's a different story. You know, that the job there, you know, the fivefold ministry is to help the other ones to do what the believer should be doing. Amen. Which is really, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, praise the Lord. In his name, they can do things. They speak in new tongues. See, we, you know, I mean, this is, if he says that this is the sign of those that believe, I mean, people that go around say, well, you don't need to speak in tongues. You have to write them off. Sorry. Because that's the only thing. I mean, this is what Jesus said. And so he said, this sign says, that means, you know, you're not a believer. Well, the problem, many people don't speak in tongues because they've been taught that that was of the devil. So, who is the voice of the devil? Speaking, even speaking in tongues, or the one who says that? I don't know. This year, I'm going to be speaking clearly. Say certain things, and people don't like it. Just too bad, because this is scripture. Okay. I mean, is other scripture? Or isn't. If a scripture, if it contradicts the scripture, then I'm going to say it. Amen? I always do, but I'm going to do it more because we need to have clarity these days so that we don't get confused. Praise the Lord. You know, they cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpent and they will not drink any deadly thing. You shall not hurt them. They will say, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that was a common experience for early Christians. And it's going to be a common experience for believers in the last days. So, you know, some people say, well, you know, the last day started when Jesus left. Oh, yes, but there is last day and the last day at the beginning. Amen. All right? So this is, you know, you can see this happening actually all over the world. Okay, and for about 1700 years, it was just completely gone. And that was prophesied. All these things were prophesied. Okay. I mean, see, for example, what happened, you know, the way these things happened, you know, the Azusa Street, you know, when the revival started coming to all the different denominations, penetrating the things that people made, the castle that people made, that, you know, and that was not because somebody organized it. It's just the Holy Spirit came and did the work and penetrated the things, and some people got it and some others did rejected it. But you know, didn't just have to get it and then forget about it. It's get it and you start moving in that direction. Otherwise, you lose it. You cannot receive something from the Holy Spirit. And I said that and I got people upset about that. And I don't care. Amen. I said that many times. If you, the Holy Spirit says something to you, and it's clear it's the Holy Spirit, and you know that it's the Holy Spirit, and then you reject it, you are going to backslide worse than you were before. Because you cannot reject what the Holy Spirit is doing in you without any consequences. You have to keep moving. He's a pusher. You know, he just keep pushing for you to move into what? All truth. Amen. Can you say all truth?
All truth.
We need all truth. Amen. And the more truth we have, the better it is. Hallelujah. But you know, sometimes the truth hurts because it involves change. It involves giving up certain things and involves embracing some new things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, now I believe that this, because of the times we are in, it's the time to stop limiting the Holy One of Israel. That's what the children of Israel did when they came out of Egypt, you know. The Bible in Psalm 78 talks about that, you know. Again and again, Psalm 78 verse 41 says, again and again they tempted God. See that? You tempt God when you do that, okay, and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember. You see, that's the way we're tempting. They did not remember his power. I get to say it again. They did not remember his power, and this is the way they tempted, how they tempted God. Okay? The day when he redeemed them from the enemy. You see, they were, why were doing, why are they, you know, I mean, miracles happening when they came out of Egypt, they, you know, the Egyptians were giving him gold and silver and stuff. I mean, that's crazy. And you forget that? You see, they were looking, see, people, and today too, sometimes unbelievers, you know, they look at the circumstances they are in on the moment and they forget the big stuff that happened before. That's right. God is ready to do it again because that's what the way it works.
Amen.
He doesn't do it just once. He keeps doing it because that's his nature. Because the only way, but we had to be open to act on it. We had to be open to listen. We had to be open to see and to walk in by faith instead of by sight, by the look, the things that are around us. They were looking at the desert. Instead of looking at the manna that was coming down every day. You still there? Praise the Lord. You know, gifts and miracles are not passed away. That's the thing that we had to realize, and that we had to expect them to be so. We had to expect them to see them happening. Okay? Finally, you see, when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus said at the beginning, you know, wait until the Holy Spirit come and you shall receive power and you shall be my witness. You know, my witness is not a one to say around talking about stuff. It's really being a witness. You see, look what happened here, what happened with Jesus did. Jesus went around healing and delivering people all over the place. That was the way he was establishing who he was. So that people could see that he wasn't just another guy. He went around demonstrating the kingdom of God. Amen. And he wants us to do the same because this is the Great Commission. You know, this is why he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." See, the signs are indication of that you are a believer. You see, and when the promise came at the beginning, everybody was doing it. Then they got confused by men's ideas. But there was always something there. You know, there was always something throughout the century. There was a remnant all the time, keeping the little flame going until the time was ready for the thing to happen again. And the promise of the Father, it was valid all throughout this time. It's just a question that people didn't respond. But now it's time to respond. See, this is why it's not our work. It's not a special one ministry. It's not just one person doing it. It's not a denomination doing it. It's just all over the place, independently, with God revealing himself to people and manifesting himself through them. Now you can jump in the boat, or maybe come out of the boat, because that's the thing you probably had to do. I mean, go out of the boat and start walking on water. Because this is what Jesus calls us to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, we really are entering the promised land. We are. And because the promise of the fathers is manifesting itself again. And we have to understand that and agree with that and move with that. Hallelujah. See, this is why Jesus came. Not just to get somebody, you know, they can say, well, you know, I'm going to go to heaven when I'm dead. It's to establish his kingdom here. His kingdom here. Hallelujah. See, and we are getting ready for the final showdown. When he's going to come back. I believe that. Okay? Not just talking about heaven, but to manifest things down here. Praise the Lord. See, this is the life that he wants us to experience. You know, people talk about making Christianity, relevant. And they go completely the wrong way. Trying to be like the world is. You are going to be making Christianity relevant by doing what Jesus did, going around, healing the sick, raising the dead, and doing the things that need to be done. Because that's what the world needs. I mean, you may not realize that, but that's what the world needs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is why, you know, this is, well, you know, He gives us abundant life. He came to give us abundant life. And not just, that doesn't mean a big bank account. You may have a bank account because you're going to be provided, but that's not the issue. Praise the Lord. You know, some worldly people have a big bank account, but they are really messed up. So that doesn't do it. Something else makes a difference. It's what's inside you. Hallelujah. See, this is why Jesus said, you know, wait until you are, you know, you receive the Holy Spirit, you know. But when you shall receive the Holy Spirit, the power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. See, the word, you know, I always say that, and I'm going to repeat it again. You know, the word receive, you know, that's the way just the English works doesn't reflect what Jesus was saying that day. It doesn't reflect, you know, when you will receive the Holy Spirit, okay? That is the word there is lambano, which means take hold of. So there is a part we play to get the Holy Spirit. It's not just a question that we are there, you know, passive, and we are going to get what everything. There is an active component that we have to put inside to be able to manifest what God wants to do. You know, God doesn't take people just to be there to be zombies. He is there to be active and doing what the Spirit inside is telling you to do. He wants us to be proactive, not just reactive. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but, you know, bottom line is, you know, let me, the scripture there, you know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, that means, you know, you're going to look like Him. See, but there is just to be this taking hold of, this lambano, grabbing what is there, because otherwise it's not going to happen. If you're going to go there, you know, just, no, it doesn't work. Okay. The implication is we need the Holy Spirit to empower and guide us. See, that's what makes the difference. It's not just us doing something. We need the Holy Spirit inside to be able to do that. Amen. And one of the things that's going to happen there is that you are going to have an internal direction, internal guidance. You know, that's your GPS. Working inside you, guiding you in the where you had to go. But you had to be listening to the Holy, to the Holy Spirit. You to be really, you know, if you can have the GPS in your car, turn down the volume, don't look at the screen, and you're not going to admit it's not good at all. So in a way, you should be able to receive the thing, where to turn, where to go, what to do all the time, because otherwise you have no direction. It's you and not Him. He is the one that has to guide you into all truth. Amen. He's the one that's going to give you the things to come. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, the thing, the implication of that you have to be able to hear, listening. Okay, Jesus said it in a different way before in John chapter 10, verse 27. You know, my sheep hear my voice. Yeah. I know them and they follow me. I mean, people, you know, some religious guys, you know, if you, it's not a question of hearing voices. Well, I'm sorry. Jesus said, you hear my voice. You know, actually, the voice, the Greek word there for voice is phonai. You know, phone means, you know, you know, it's something that you actually hear. It's a sound. So there has to be a sound associated with hearing the voice of God. Amen. It's not just, I don't know, I got this idea. And if you say you have heard the sound, you say, well, you have some problem with your bed yet. Hello? Are you following me? I mean, Jesus said that we should hear a voice, a sound. Just, you know, we miss so much from the original language because English is different than the Greek. And each time you make a translation from one language to another, you always lose something or you add something. And God didn't speak in English when he wrote this, the Bible. He didn't use the King James Version either. It's the original that is was spoken when they were writing, they were receiving and hearing from God and putting it down there. Yeah. Hebrew or Greek or whatever, depending, you know, some Aramaic, depending on the language. The thing is, the interesting thing that all these people were so different from different century and everything else, and everything that they said agreed with each other. I mean, that by itself is the greatest miracle of them all. Praise the Lord. So we need to be able to hear. Praise the Lord. Going to go back and read again the scripture. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay, the sheep are going to follow him because they hear. You can't follow somebody that you don't hear. You know, people that go around say, well, you know, I can't hear from God. Well, unplug your ears because he wants to speak to you more than you want to listen. Amen. If you want to listen enough, you're going to hear. Amen. Hallelujah. And continue, verse 28, and give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Amen. I mean, that's the implication, is you're not going to get confused. Amen. You're not going to get messed up if you're listening. The confusion, the following the wrong teaching, the wrong idea, is going to come when you're starting to follow man's idea. And you are not listening anymore. See, because you are trying to do it according to what somebody said. You should be able to connect with God. Amen. And hear properly. Amen. That doesn't mean that you cannot get some ideas or some things from people, but you have to go again, you know, make sure that they are following the things that God said instead of following men's ideas. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that, so you have to have that connection with Jesus. There has to be that connection with him. In John chapter 15, hallelujah, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, people keep saying, you know, without him, we can do nothing. The thing is, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is, with him, you can do everything. Amen. See, that's the thing. He's, you know, with him, but you had to get him. Okay? See, the point is, where are you abiding? That's the key. Are you abiding in your own idea, somebody else's idea, or are you abiding in him? Okay, there is no, you know, how do you abide? How do you, you know, how you do it? Where is your focus? What are you looking at? How are you operating? You know, where you focus on is a choice you make. And what you focus on, you give power automatically. Hallelujah. See, one thing is you get from here is a mental Bible study is not enough. I mean, just information is not enough. I mean, you can know all the scripture you want, but it's not enough. You need to be dwelling, being baptized in the Word. Amen. I mean, be immersed. See, that's dwelling. Otherwise, you're not dwelling. You're just passing by. It's the dwelling that makes the difference. It's who dwells in me. That's the thing. Okay? And to dwell in him is not just to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Dwell in him means that you are in the Word because he is the Word. Amen. I mean, it means that the Word is inside you and you are living inside the Word. Amen. See, that's what makes a difference. You see, this is what dwells in you means. Okay? If anyone does not abide in me, that means, you know, you're staying in the Word all the time. He's cast out as a branch and is withered. So you can go around coming on Sunday morning, listen to somebody preaching, and thinking that you are filled with the Word. You have to be there abiding. That means, you know, you dwell, you stay there all the time. See, that one makes a difference. See, this is why people says, you know, this stuff doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work because you don't work it. You see, you are not in it enough. See, there is a threshold. When you are under the threshold, this doesn't produce results. But when you reach the threshold, you're starting to be active and producing new so that you can manifest it, but has to be enough. You see, you had to be immersed. You had to be swimming into it. You had to be living into it. You had to be sleeping into it. You know, you had to go to bed and the Word is working in you yet, even when you sleep.
Amen.
You don't do worldly dreams. You do worldly dreams. Amen?
Amen?
See, that's the thing. You see, that shows that actually you are immersed. You know? You are completely under. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this is the what has to happen this year. We had to get people, see, the, this Bible school, that is the objective of it is not just to do another course. It's for people to get into the Word so much that they're going to swim in it.
Amen. Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So, here we go. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they shall be burned. If you abide in me, verse 7, 15, 7, John 15, 7, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. I mean, that's a big promise. But you see, the fact is, it's a promise that materializes only when you do those things, when you line up with what he said before. I mean, you are dwelling in it, and then you can expect that to be the case. You see, different ideas come to you from the world all the time. They contradict the Word of God. And if you are exposed to the news, the newspapers, you know, the way the world thinks, the way, you know, you're going to line up with it because this is going to form you that way. I mean, you're going to see, you see, that's your focus. You are dwelling in it because you like it or not, you are inside there. And so you are exposed. So you had to do something to diminish the effect of that on you to be able to survive, to be able to be in a different space. And that different space is the Word. So you had to be there focusing not on the things that you see, not on Israel, what they did. You know, when they came out, the children of Israel, they, you know, made the Word of God on no effect. They essentially limited the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because they were looking at the desert. They were looking at the fact there was no water. They were looking at the things that, you know, and the only thing they did is complain. Or they were afraid. Oh, you know, they're big, you know, we are grasshopper compared to them. Well, I'm sorry. If you are focusing on that, you are a grasshopper. Go and jump in somewhere else because I don't want to jump with you. Are you following me? See, we had to take a position. We had to protect ourselves, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. See, unless we do that, we are going to go under. See, we are going to be not dwelling in the Word. Because we are not dwelling in the Word, we are going to be, you know, separating ourselves from the branch, and we are going to be burned away. Like the old world is. Are you following me? See, there is more. I mean, there are great promises in the Bible. The thing is, they just don't happen to everybody. They happen to the people that are immersed in the world, that are not in the world, but in the Word, that are, you know, in communion with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, something else here. I repeat this verse again because there is something I want to pull out. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and will be done for you. When it says, my words abide in you, is my rhema abides in you. So it's not just, you see, this is why it's not just a question of doing a Bible study. See, is God actually speaking to you through His Word? He's guiding you. You see, He's talking all this. You hear my voice, the sound. I mean, it's more than just seeing something written there. It's not just the logical thing that you see with your eyes. Is God speaking to you with His rhema about the situations, about the things that you are going through, and guiding you with His rhema, moment by moment? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, we should be there to be quickened in our walk so that we can walk by faith, so that the faith is working in us because the rhema is operating in us and guiding us in the things. It's not just a question of, you know, just knowing a few scriptures and trying to memorize them. Oh, you, it's good to memorize. I'm not putting that down. That's the beginning. That's just the starting point. You know, you can memorize it and forget it and go around all day, and then you say, okay, you know, it's time to quote the scriptures. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, doesn't do any good. The Word should be there speaking in you all the time. You know, Psalm 1, so, you know, blesses the man, all the blessing that comes there, you know, all things that he does shall prosper. You know, meditates on it day and night. I mean, there is no option. When you are in the situations we are today, there is no option. If you look at the world, you get going crazy like they do. It's depressing. You know, fearful, and there's no fear. When the Word is active in you, you have no fear. Amen. You had no fear of sickness, no fear of disease, no fear of people, no fear of the atomic bombs. You had no fear of war. You had no fear of earthquake. You had no fear of carbon problems in the sky. You had no fear of anything because this word is inside you that is more powerful than all these other stupid things. Are you ready for this year? Oh, that's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. See, and we go finish with this verse. It is actually John 15, verse 8. By this, can you say, by this?
By this.
My Father is glorified.
Hallelujah.
See, you bring glory to God as you yield to what he wants to do with you. That you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. Hallelujah. My disciples. This is what we had to become. That's what we had to be. That's what we had to, that's the way, our way of life. If you want to get these type of results. But they're available to anybody. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think we should make a confession here. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For your word.
For your word.
They give us everything that we need for life and godliness. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that is in me to quicken me, to allow the Word to become real to me and guide my steps in my life to make a difference in my life and the lives of the people around me. I just thank you for everything you have done. For having set me free, for having healed me, for having restored me to the way it should be, so that I can be righteous in your presence by Jesus' work, through his blood. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. I take it. Lambano is mine. In Jesus' name,
amen
and amen.